Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart, and this is live radio. A new exhibition brings uptown and downtown together to celebrate a groundbreaking designer who died far too young. The exhibition Willie Smith Street Couture is at the Cooper Hewitt, the nation's only museum dedicated to historic and contemporary design. In his short career, designer Willie Smith channeled the energy and the elegance of street culture into high-end fashion. His famous quote was, "I don't design clothes for the queen, but for the people who wave at her as she goes by." He made his own rules when it came to runway shows. They were edgy and in unusual spaces. He was one of the first designers, if not the first, to create a line of clothing that wasn't divided into a men's and women's category. Back then it was described as unisex, sort of a precursor to what would be described as non-binary today. 11 years after founding his own company, Willie Smith died at age 39 in 1987 of an AIDS-related illness. At the time of his death, Smith was considered the most commercially successful black designer in the United States. His company was worth the equivalent of $60 million today. The year after his death, Mayor Dinkins declared February 23, 1988, Willie Smith Day in New York City. And now you can see a tribute to his work at the Cooper Hewitt until October 25th. Alexandra Cunningham Cameron curated the show, and she joins me now. Alexandra, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So he famously said when he was an intern for Arnold Skazi, a couture who made clothing for the likes of Brooke Astor and Elizabeth Taylor, he got what he called a crash course in the clothes I didn't want to make. What does that mean? And how do we see Willie Smith pursue his career after this point?
Mm-hmm. Well, Willie Smith was definitely interested in making affordable, adaptable, utilitarian, and fun clothes from a very young age. You know, we know that from some of his friends who he grew up with that we interviewed for the exhibition. And he was driven to make clothes for the people. And although I would say that his career exploded through an egalitarian energy in the 1970s, you know, the Black Power movement had reached its peak. Congress passed the ERA, the National Gay and LGBTQ Task Force was established. He really was interested in providing a service to people. You know, he talked about his clothes as a canvas for the body.
Why is the exhibition called Street Couture?
Street Couture is the name of one of the most iconic Willie Ware runway shows from 1983. And it was billed at the time as the first fashion event to bring together fashion, music, and contemporary art. Willie Smith and his partner, Lori Mallet, organized this event in the Puck Building in downtown New York. They brought techno-utopian Chilean videographer, video artist Juan Downey to create a 28-channel installation. Jorge Socadas made a custom score. Bill Bunnell, the graphic designer, created a unique brand identity for the show. And you really see what we are thinking about as a blueprint for fashion marketing and events that has been so dramatically influential in the field since that time.
My guest is Alexandra Cunningham Cameron. She is the curator of Willie Smith Street Couture at the Cooper Hewitt. When Willie Smith first sort of came onto the scene, what was unique mm-hmm. about his work and his design? What was it that stood out from everything else at the time?
Yeah. Well, when he first came on the scene, he was very young. You know, he was extremely talented. He left Parsons early, and he was hired by a couple of 7th Avenue firms to be quickly snapped up by a new sportswear startup called Digits. And when he was designing for Digits, he was well known for the fit of his pants. He created a really fantastic and flattering fit for women. But as he expanded and he realized that he needed to own his own business in order to be able to push forward his creative vision, he did that with another famous pair of pants, which was a sort of a hybrid harem and cargo pants for the first Willie Ware collection in 1976, at which point he became known for the clothing that you see in the exhibition, which is looser, unstructured, fit a variety of body types, was intended to go from day into night, into the morning, if you would. But he was definitely conscious of trying to serve different needs and different body types for his wearers.
Where did he take his inspiration for this work?
Oh, he had so many inspirations. We were so lucky to receive one of his sketchbooks that was lent to us by Mark Bozek, who is the former communications director of Willie Ware. And you see in this sketchbook how vast of a range of influences Willie Smith had. He was looking at interior design. He was looking at performance. He was looking at fashion photography. He was looking at advertisements for farmware and milking aprons. But his most important influence was watching the streets. You know, he would talk a lot about how he looked out his window to see how people were dressing, to see how they moved in their clothes. And he used this as a major inspiration for his collections. One of my favorite quotes of his is, if he didn't see his clothes on the street, he knew he was doing something wrong. And so there was this constant feedback loop where he was really hoping to design for people in their everyday lives.
I'm so glad you mentioned that you got the sketchbook. What was the source for the items that are in the exhibit? There's clothing, there's video, there are T-shirts, there's so much. How did you go about amassing all of this?
There's a lot. And, you know, there is work that was designed and created by Willie Smith and Willie Ware, but also the work of a variety of his collaborators. And the show definitely has an emphasis on collaboration, you know, with artists like Diane McIntyre and Keith Haring, Les Levine, and really a community of friends and collaborators came together to find whatever they had, to go into their basements, into their closets. Some of the people who contributed clothing to the exhibition have been wearing it since the 80s. Others had to do a bit more digging to find ephemera, photographs. And we've continued even beyond the physical exhibition to collect stories and images of Willie Smith's designs through the Digital Community Archive online.
Yeah, tell people about that. It's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. So we realized as we were researching how much we were relying on the stories of people in Willie Smith's circle. And the exhibition is really also about how he brought together this creative community in New York in the 1970s and 80s. And so we wanted to represent that community and also bring in people who he didn't know, who were fans, who may have been influenced by him, and understand really what he meant to them and how he was specifically influencing people, and to continue the process of pulling together archival material that would allow people to understand more about what Willie Smith was trying to do. And so once we finalized the object list for the exhibition, we started to develop an online platform for discovering more about Willie Smith and also contributing to writing his history, to writing the story. So we've published essays, interviews, and have been collecting recollections from people who knew him and people who didn't, people who worked at Willie Ware. Fans from all over the world have started to send us snapshots, pictures of themselves and Willie Ware at their prom. It's been a great way to really work on a collaborative, crowdsourced project to celebrate a designer.
My guest is Alexandra Cunningham Cameron. We're talking about Willie Smith's True Couture at the Cooper Hewitt. So the installation itself is really interesting because you have Cooper Hewitt, which is this gorgeous Gregorian mansion with all this wood inside. But the exhibit really wants to recreate the sort of the rough-hewn industrial feel of Willie Smith's office and workspace. Tell us a little bit about how you worked to get the look of the installation right, because you had to respect the integrity of the building, but you also had to create the atmosphere that would be the best one to showcase Willie's work.
I'm glad that you brought that up. The exhibition design is probably the biggest work in the show. Mm-hmm. And it references, as you mentioned, a variety of Willie Smith's interiors that were designed by site architects from 1982 to 1985. And we were very lucky to work with one of the architects who designed these projects, James Wines. In the 80s, he worked with his partner, Allison Skye, and he is 87 and interpreted those designs from the 80s for today in the Carnegie Mansion. So it is quite shocking. I think it's a way to rediscover the mansion's Georgian architecture also. It draws your eye to places that you might not otherwise have looked, but there definitely is a new energy in the space with all of the reused street materials and matte gray color.
You know, Willie Smith and his sister Tukey were kind of downtown celebrities too. What did they embody about New York at this time?
I think they embodied the spirit of collaboration and collectivity and free experimentation. You know, they weren't afraid to speak their minds or make mistakes. And we really tried to communicate that energy as much as possible through the physical exhibition, but also through the collective of people who have told their stories about Willie Smith. Some of them are cheeky. Some of them are nostalgic. Some of them mark major moments in fashion history, in art history, in architecture history.
The name of the exhibit is Willie Smith Street Couture. It is at the Cooper Hewitt through, I believe it is, October 25th. My guest has been Alexandra Cunningham Cameron, the curator of the exhibit. Alexandra, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.